and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of July 30th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and elementary Melissa Hansen.
Hello.
How has your week in entertainment been?
Yes, it was very elementary, Michael Watson. I finally watched the first season of Sherlock, which is a BBC British show.
Yep.
And it's Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson and all of the characters from the books. It's just set modern day. And I think it's brilliantly done. I think they did a great job of moving them, you know, to this time period, but still keeping the feel of everything, still keeping the relationships, still keeping the basics, just making it something that could happen now. For instance, Sherlock still needs a little help from some substances, I think. He wears nicotine patches.
Nice. That's a cocaine addiction.
To smoke in London now. So he has like three nicotine patches on instead of like doing cocaine.
Nice.
But it all works really, really well. And it stars, as Sherlock Holmes, it stars, okay, ready? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who's been pretty active in doing things lately. He was in War Horse. He's going to be in The Hobbit.
He's really great as it. But I'm sorry, do you get like a better British thespian name than that?
No, he's very striking.
Right, River Olivier to be a better sounding name than that. It's so excellent.
He has that British actor kind of presence, that gravitas about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, he's really excellent. And then Martin Freeman.
Yes.
From Ricky Gervais's UK The Office.
Right.
And coming up, speaking of The Hobbit.
Yes.
I'm starring in that. But anyhow, he plays Dr. Watson, and so good. And the first episode opens like you see battlefield scenes and you're not sure what's going on. And then you see Martin Freeman like waking up from a nightmare. And then you see like a cane leaning across the table. And then he gets a cup of coffee and he puts it down and has like the medical symbol on it. And within this, like, not even 2 minutes, quick montage, you learn every single thing you need to know about his character. It's just so well done. It's amazingly. Stephen Moffat, who's also working on Doctor Who right now, created this and wrote this and produces it with his wife, Sue Vertu. And there is not a single frame or a single word in the script that isn't completely necessary and like pitch perfect.
Wow.
It really, I mean, the acting is so great, but like I said, bringing it to modern day, but also just how they show things. And there's one thing that I think some people may get a little annoyed with, but I totally went for it.
Yeah.
When Sherlock's thinking, they'll show us what he's thinking. Like one scene, he's trying to figure out they're on foot and they have to chase a cab.
Yeah.
And you see, like, he's thinking, you see where it says, like, one-way sign, and you see, like, the construction, and you see, like, he's figuring out the path to get there. When he's, like, examining a body, like, he's touching things and looking at things, and it'll say, like he'll touch the umbrella, and it'll, on the screen, it'll say dry, and he'll touch, like, the color of the coat, and on the screen, it says wet. So he doesn't have to say what he's thinking, but you're not at a loss either.
Okay.
And I could see how it could kind of take you out, but I appreciated it. And I thought it was well done. Hmm. I thought it really kind of slid in and worked well. But yeah, I watched it Netflix, season one. It's 3 episodes. That's it.
3 feature length.
But they're 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then season 2 is out on DVD, but I haven't found it on streaming yet. Hopefully that'll be out soon. And then they're working on season 3 right now.
Okay.
It hasn't aired yet. Yeah. So if you're like me and you like good British mystery, this is good British mystery.
Now, did they air this on Masterpiece Mystery and PBS here in the States? I think they did for season.
And did they?
But yeah, it's been available on DVD and Blu-ray for a while. And like you said, it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So there's absolutely no reason to not check it out. It's been in my queue forever, and I have not watched it yet. So
yeah,
they should
bump it up because it's worth it. And it's another thing I like plowed through as soon as I finished. I will warn you, it is a TV season, even though it's 3 episodes.
Yeah.
It ends like TV seasons end.
Okay.
On cliffhangers.
All right.
So I will let you know that because it ended, and knowing I don't know when I'm going to be able to watch season 2.
Yeah.
It ended and I let out a string of obscenities.
Oh.
I just conjugated the F word.
Yeah.
because I was like, I didn't want it to end, and wow. I wanted more, and I wanted to know, and oh my gosh, no, more, more. And yeah, it was that good that I was very upset when it ended.
Jeez. Well, stateside, we're going to get our Sherlock fix this fall as well, because Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu are starring in a version of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson called Elementary.
Yes. And it'll be interesting. I'm thinking it's going to be fairly similar, but then again, they've changed the characters, you know, obviously with Lucy Liu.
Right. And this is based in New York and not London.
Exactly. So it's much bigger changes than Sherlock. Like I said, Sherlock just brought it up to modern day. That's really the big change they made.
Now, have they introduced characters like Moriarty and things like that in this first season that you watched?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's interesting because some of it you're not sure for a minute and how they introduce it. And it's very, very well played. Yeah, the first episode, there's this whole thing with one character. You think it may be another character and then you're not sure. And that it just, it's very well played. It's very well thought out, very smartly done.
Okay. Been kind of a British week, what with the opening of the Olympics in London.
Yes.
And Danny Boyle producing the opening ceremonies. Which I missed the Beijing opening ceremonies, which everyone talked about it being mm-hmm. the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, with all the acrobatics and stuff they did.
So, you know, how do you top that 4 years later?
Right.
So producer, director Danny Boyle, you know, who had done Slumdog Millionaire and Sunshine and all these other great films, was brought on to do this, and he accepted the challenge gleefully and came up with something that was unique and didn't quite work.
I can tell you the whole torch lighting.
Yeah.
The tears, so many that it was like down my neck.
Yeah. That was cool with how they did that with the flutes and how it all came together to form the cauldron and
one for each nation. And yeah. It just killed me.
Getting up to that point, he tried to do this kind of operatic, epic story of England from
the
pastoral age to the industrial age to the modern digital age. None of it really flowed together. So there were some great visuals, these smokestacks that came out of the ground and they forged, you know, the first of the Olympic rings, and that was cool. But in terms of a cohesive story, it just didn't seem to do much. You had Kenneth Branagh looking like Abraham Lincoln, quoting from Shakespeare's The Tempest, intermixed with this great industrial age fusion. And then it got into celebrating the National Health Service. And then Rowan Atkinson was playing the keyboard.
Okay, that was pretty excellent, though. Oh, I'm sorry. The Mr. Bean stuff.
That was really... The Mr. Bean thing was probably funnier than an entire season of Mr. Bean on TV. But there was stuff that was missing. I mean, here's Mary Poppins that were fighting Voldemort, right?
Kids,
and there's a giant creepy baby in the middle of the thing. But there was no Doctor Who. There was no Monty Python.
Got cut.
It was just...
Got cut for time. Supposed to be Doctor Who music.
Yeah.
Supposed to be Monty Python. They got cut for time.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the scope and just the pressure that must be on someone to create something like this when you have a billion people watching on television. Right. You've got to wow them.
And you have to one-up.
Yeah.
But somebody else did 4 years before.
Now, I do have to say that the fireworks at the end of this whole thing, where Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon was playing, the fireworks ran down the Thames and around the stadium, and it was amazing. But I think on the whole, it was just kind of a miss. I just don't think he nailed it. Now, the James Bond thing with the Queen was brilliant, too. And to have Queen Elizabeth herself be game enough to do something like that.
Right, that was a
great little moment.
For being part of it.
So, but again, it was a lead up to then they do the Parade of the Nations, and then they did the torch lighting ceremony. But really, we've got 2 weeks of a lot of great competition. Women's volleyball so far, beach volleyball has been fantastic. Like some of the swimming competitions, the early preliminary stuff for the gymnastics qualifications has had a lot of drama. So, as always, these 2 weeks are full of really great human interest stories.
I watched a little bit of the swimming, which the men's swimming was ending up to be a bit of a story and stuff. I have ended up watching a lot of boxing and soccer, which is actually being shown on Telemundo.
In English or in Spanish?
Oh, in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
So that's actually what I've ended up watching this weekend.
Wow.
Because that's the channel they're showing it on. Because, you know, because NBC has all kinds of different channels that they're showing different things on, the whole network. Well, Telemundo is part of that, and that's where they're showing the soccer and boxing.
Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of an Olympics junkie, so I always have been since I was a kid. Since the days of Jim McKay and the Winter Olympics, I always found the Winter Olympics more fascinating this summer. But the ratings are up, people are watching, and I think London's doing a great job with their venues and just the weather's cooperating, so it's really turning out to be a great experience so far.
Yeah, one of the problems they're having, they set aside these sections of seats for, like, VIPs who aren't coming.
Oh, no.
So if you watch, you can see big sections. There's no one sitting there. Ugh. And all these, you know, quote, regular people who would have loved to have seen it couldn't get in. And it just looks bad, like having empty seats at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So
I think they'd give those away then.
Well, now they're looking at giving it to military members and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, that's something they're having to kind of fix.
Huh.
So, and the other complaint is the torch, it's inside the big stadium for the track and field stuff.
Yeah, nobody can
see it. And you can't see it outside the stadium.
Right.
It's not tall enough to be seen. So, just tourists, unless you are going to track and field events, you don't actually get to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that maybe was not the best planning either.
Well, they do have the Olympic rings hanging from Tower Bridge, and they have another one stationed on the Thames across from the Tate Modern. So, So, there is stuff that's identifiable throughout the city.
That's a big thing. But
And I think they changed the colors on Big Ben. So they're like red, white, and blue.
Cool.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I really love this event and this experience. It really kind of, you know, for everything that's going on in the world, it's a way to kind of set aside all the crap and just kind of celebrate human life in a way. So, all right. From that to the box office. And we get back to the controversy surrounding The Dark Knight Rises, which studio heads and theater owners have all been concerned that people are still scared to go to the theater. I mean, rationally or irrationally.
Yeah, so it ends up Dark Knight, not like it's really suffering. So Dark Knight Rises, number one, $64 million for the weekend.
More than $500 million worldwide.
Yeah, and it's almost $300 million just here in the States.
Yeah.
So, but okay, so $64 million, number two, $13.3 million with Ice Age.
Yeah.
So huge drop. And then The Watch, which just opened only at $13 million.
Okay.
Like Stripes. Step Up Revolution, almost $12 million.
All right.
Which I think is for The Watch to be just above that.
Yeah.
Opening weekend for both. Not so good.
Not saying much for Ben Stiller.
Yeah, and Ted is hanging in there at number five.
You know, Family Guy is a huge thing. He's got Seth MacFarlane has a huge following with all of his shows, so I am not surprised.
It's going to break like $200 million next weekend, probably.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yes. Dark Knight has already surpassed Amazing Spider-Man.
Really?
Or Blockbuster. Amazing Spider-Man is still at $242 million, and Dark Knight's $290.
Ah, okay.
So it's been out shorter, but has made more. So that one definitely wins.
Yeah, well, it's not going to close in on Avengers, though.
No.
Next week, there's really only one movie of major importance. It's Len Wiseman's reboot of the classic Arnold Schwarzenegger 80s picture, Total Recall, which is yet another film that didn't need a remake. I mean, I love that movie for what it is, but
exactly.
Here he is, and his wife gets another acting job because Kate Beckinsale gets to star in the Sharon Stone role. Colin Farrell is playing the Arnold role, and then Jessica Biel is playing. Who played it in the original?
I don't know. Is this where I embarrass myself and say I never saw it?
Horrors.
Oh, man, that was a reaction.
No, it's just one of those classic pieces of 80s.
Yeah, I mean, I know all about it.
Yeah.
Just never actually seen it.
The good thing is it's coming out on Blu-ray this week. So for those of you who haven't seen it, it's getting re-released. Of course, there's, you know, DVD versions. I think Lionsgate has released it 50 billion times on all different kind of Arnold sets and everything like that.
Oh,
and I don't know if it's on Netflix or not. I'd have to check that out. There's two other small movies that are hitting theaters this week, only in limited release and only just to set up DVD releases to get, you know, a limited theatrical exposure. And they both star Christian Slater.
Well, all right then.
As an action star, which in the past has not worked too well for him. But these two low-budget actioners are Assassin's Bullet with Donald Sutherland and Soldiers of Fortune with Sean Bean and Ving Rhames.
Holy cannoli, that's some co-stars there.
I know. But the budgets on these films are like $5 million.
Yeah, which, of course, is actually nothing in Hollywood.
Right, right. So, that's chump change.
Crazy to me, but...
But, yeah. You know, he's working. He's working hard. He's had two different TV series in the past 3 years. Doing movies, so, well, more power to him. If you're not going to the box office, we can look and see what's coming out to DVD and Blu-ray this week, and we're going to start something new this week. We've got our top five countdown of what you need to check out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Number five from the BBC is a show that you really enjoyed. It's Misfits Season 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was talking earlier about really good British television.
Yep.
This is up there, too.
And you know who's broadcasting it on TV starting this month, or just last week, I think, is Logo.
Yeah, which is interesting choice, but I'm glad it's more people get to watch it.
Right. At number four is what we mentioned, Total Recall, Blu-ray, the mind-bending edition. Has a few more special features, but if you want to do a comparison between this and the new Colin Farrell version, you can... see just how unnecessary this movie really is.
Okay.
Coming in at number three is Mystery Science Theater 3000, volume 24 from Shout Factory, who's done an excellent job of putting these sets together and keeping the misty flame going. Eric Asperschlager has been terrific about reviewing these sets for DVD Verdict, so I highly recommend you go back and read these reviews because they're, if you're a fan, these are things you want to check out. And number two is the Kevin Costner, Bill Paxton version of Hatfields and McCoys, which was done direct for cable TV.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a big miniseries that did pretty darn well.
Critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Very high ratings. So, good for them.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to see that this week if you've missed it. And then the number one is it Marilyn Monroe's birthday? Is it some major milestone for her? Because... Fox is releasing all of her films individually on Blu-ray, and then a huge Forever Marilyn Blu-ray collection.
Yeah, it's actually the anniversary of her death.
Oh, that's what it is.
August 5th, 1962.
Okay, so before
we have the anniversary of that coming
50
up.
Years, 50 years since she passed away.
Yeah, let's celebrate that instead of her birth.
That's right.
Good choice. Good choice, DVD guys. Good choice.
And to be honest, I have to admit that I have not seen a lot of Marilyn Monroe films.
Yeah, I've seen, you forget kind of how much she actually did. I've seen, you know, a couple big ones, but certainly not most of them.
No, there's a lot of stuff in here. There's one with Robert Mitchum. And I'm like, she starred with Robert Mitchum in a movie? Wow. Mm. And here's something else we'll do every week. The opportunistic release of the week goes to Dora the Explorer's Fantastic Gymnastic Adventure.
Oh, yes. Good timing on that one. Yeah, because you know for the next 2 weeks, every little girl in the world is like, I want to be a gymnast.
I talked to my brother yesterday, and he was heading home to watch the Olympic qualifications with my two nieces, who are 9 and 5. Okay. So they're both heavily involved in gymnastics, and they're very excited to see how it plays out.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yes, it's my door to do it, too.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. We got an industry report this week on this kind of the state of the DVD, Blu-ray, streaming, video-on-demand industry for the first half of 2012. Physical media sales, which means DVD and Blu-ray, actually things you go to the store to buy, has been down almost 4%, even though Blu-ray is up 1%. Now, as we shift to our exploration, like we do every week, of streaming media... Streaming media subscriptions, like Netflix, like Hulu, up 430%.
That's actually not surprising. I mean, it sounds insane, but it's really not surprising.
Yeah. And on-demand rentals, you know, from your cable company, when you click, you want to rent it, you know, or watch it on demand, that's up 12%. And then the DVD subscription rates, like Netflix DVD, is down 50%. Again, we're shifting to that more... instant digital gratification, you know, as opposed to going to the theaters, as opposed to getting movies from Redbox or from Blockbuster, and, you know, all the Blockbusters are closing, so.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see. Coming to Netflix this week, it's first of the month, there's a lot of great stuff. I'll just mention a handful of things here. Helen Mirren's intense crime drama, Prime Suspect.
Oh, yes.
The complete series is now available on Netflix as of August 1st.
Wow, I may be talking a lot more about British coming up.
Another show that you enjoy is Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. Mm-hmm. The original UK series is now available on Netflix. Monty Python's Meaning of Life, which is probably my least favorite of the Python films, but there's still some great vignettes in there. That's available. Frank Oz's adaptation of Howard Ashman and Alan Menken's cult classic musical Little Shop of Horrors is available this week. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is producing and starring in a remake of that. Troma's entire Toxic Avengers series. I think there's 6 or 7 films.
Okay.
If you missed any of them, feel free. And then a film that I absolutely loved, just a little bizarre crime caper starring Patricia Clarkson, Sam Rockwell, William H. Macy, Michael Jeter, and George Clooney.
This was, a lot of people did not like this. It was weird, but it was fun.
Welcome to Collinwood.
Yes.
It's available on Netflix this weekend. You know, Melissa and I both recommend that if you get an hour and a half and you want to just try something out.
Just with that cast.
Yeah, it really is.
Being whacked. It's worth watching.
It's so funny. It's like Ocean's 11 from very bizarre people.
Yes, it's really good way to describe it. It is.
Over at Hulu this week, we get even more Criterion, but this time it has a horror slant.
So,
Georges Franju's disturbing 1960 thriller, Eyes Without a Face, which is about a plastic surgeon who attempts to rebuild his daughter's horribly disfigured face from a car accident by stealing the faces of random French women.
That's really pleasant.
And then you've got Kaneto Shindo's 1964 Japanese horror film about a mother and daughter who live in a swamp and murder passing samurai on their way home from war.
Samurais usually hang out in swamps.
I guess they have to cross through the swamp in order to get home or something from the battlefields. So not only do they sell their belongings to like a local merchant, but the daughter found a mask from one of the samurais and put it on, and now she can't get it off.
Oh, wow. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, and karma's starting to catch up with them. I've only seen pieces of it, but it's one of those things that you have to invest in emotionally and time-wise to get the full effect.
Okay.
And then there's a film called Haksan. It's a 1922 7-part documentary exploring witchcraft throughout the ages.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It mixes artwork with dramatic recreations, and it's got that silent movie kind of creepy feel to it, which only enhances the subject matter. Go figure. There's a lot to choose from, but I'm done, and I'll hand it over to you to talk about television.
Okay. Well, pretty much, if you don't like sports or reruns, you're out of luck.
Oh.
The next couple weeks, because, you know, NBC on all of their stations is pretty much Olympics.
Yeah.
And that's it. There is one new show. Hey, it's a reality show. Imagine that. It's called All the Right Moves, and it's on Oxygen, and it's a reality show about 4 dancers who are like living together and starting a dance troupe.
Oh.
And guy dancers, actually. So if you know, are missing the reality shows that were just kind of ending, you can check that out. And then Saturday night on ABC, you can watch Eddie Murphy, Thandie Newton, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Annie Griffin destroy their careers in Norbit.
Oh, God, what a terrible movie.
So, if you've had enough with, you know, watching Olympic events, you can spend 2 hours watching that.
Wow.
Music this week, Sparkle, the original motion picture soundtrack, is coming out. Oh. And this is famous because it's Whitney Houston's last picture and album and everything. She's just got one or two songs on it. Jordan Sparks stars in the movie, too, and she's the majority of the soundtrack. But that's out. And Neil Diamond.
What?
It's 40th anniversary deluxe edition of his Hot August Night. which is a live concert.
Yeah.
So that's been remastered and is coming out, so you can just hear Neil in all of his glory.
Oh, wow.
So I will be listening to it, I'm sure, you know, like virtually over the computer with like Eric. But another really cool set that's coming out, Fish, Chicago 94.
Yeah.
It's two shows that they did in Chicago at UIC.
Okay.
And recorded live. It's 6 hours of music, six CDs.
Wow.
It's, yeah, any fan is going to want to pick this up.
Hmm.
And another cool one, Johnny Cash Music Festival, which was an actual music festival, and then they recorded part of it and are releasing CDs. Yeah. But Roseanne Cash sings, Kris Kristofferson, George Jones.
Hmm.
So country fans and classic country fans are going to want to check that out.
Nice.
Books, talking about Whitney, with Sparkle coming out. B.B. Winans actually has written a book about Whitney called The Whitney I Knew. Biography, but from someone who really did know her and telling their perspective.
Yeah, right. Family.
Yeah. And I may have to pick this one up.
What?
It's by Andrew Schaefer, but writing under the name Fanny Merkin.
Okay.
And it's called, ready, 50 Shames of Earl Grey. And I'm going to read you really quick the blurb about it.
All right.
Young, arrogant tycoon Earl Grey seduces the naive co-ed Anna Steele, S-T-E-A-L,
nice,
with his overpowering good looks and staggering amounts of money. But will she be able to get past his 50 shames, including shopping at Walmart on Saturdays, bondage with handcuffs, and his love of BDSM, bards, dragons, sorcery, and magic?
Oh,
or will his dark secret and constant smirking drive her over the edge?
Nice.
So those of us who have read 50 Shades of Grey and maybe had a little bit of problem with some of it, we'll appreciate this one.
Nice.
Some big news I'm very excited about in the theater world.
Hmm.
John Cameron Mitchell,
yes,
is in the process of writing, and he will be starring in a sequel to Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh.
So the composer and lyricist, Stephen Trask, who wrote the first one with him, is also on board.
Nice.
A reading is scheduled for September at the Afterglow Festival in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Nice.
So it's in the very beginning stages, but I'm very excited. And we'll let you know more when that actually is going to be on stage. So let's get to gossip news.
Yeah, unfortunately, we start with three celebrity deaths.
Okay, never mind. You know, you have to start with that.
I know, it's a downer. Sherman Hemsley, best known as the New York City cleaning magnate, George Jefferson, passed away this week. He was 74. Also 74, Chad Everett, who may be best known for the 70s TV series Medical Center. Modern audiences would possibly remember him from his recent guest role on Castle when they did their 1940s flashback.
Yes.
He was the bookend. He was the the man in the middle of that story. And he also did a season 5 episode of Supernatural where he played an older version of Dean Winchester.
Very cool.
The episode was called The Curious Case of Dean Winchester.
Okay.
And then 69-year-old Lupe Ontiveros, who you remember as Jack Nicholson's hilarious neighbor nemesis in As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
And she was the woman who killed Jennifer Lopez and Selena. And then she was most recently on Desperate Housewives. And she passed away of lung cancer this past weekend.
Yeah.
A bit of unfortunate news. The cast of Modern Family has been battling Fox TV producers over contracts.
Yes.
It got ugly and then it looks like it's been resolved. Although
there's no way this is not going to be resolved.
No. But I guess it had something to do with the length of the contract that were 7 years. And
right. They set it up. Yeah. And then there's, it's not supposed to be that long and whatever. So they're giving them more cash and they're going to be happy. So yeah, that got worked out. But now the child stars are renegotiating their contract to get more cash.
Right. And you know what else? They fired the dog.
They did.
And replaced her with a new dog.
They did.
So that
read that.
Steve Levitin's empire is crumbling beneath his feet. An empire that refuses to die. The ninth life of Charlie Sheen is well underway, and FX is expected to extend the actor's anger management series from its original 10 episodes to an even 100.
Seriously?
Seriously.
That's crazy. That does not happen.
It is now. Wow. And not only that, Martin Sheen is being brought on to play his dad in an ongoing recurring role, and his first appearance will be broadcast on August 16th.
Great.
Yep. So the madness will continue. Danny Trejo is going major A-list in Robert Rodriguez's Machete Kills.
Yes.
Which is the sequel to the very popular original
Machete
Grindhouse picture. So he's starring opposite Edward James Olmos, Mel Gibson, the aforementioned Charlie Sheen, who is playing the President of the United States, Sofia Vergara from Modern Family,
sweet
Amber Heard, and the acting debut of Lady Gaga.
Nice.
And Rodriguez.
She's that's a hell of a lot better than Lindsay Lohan.
Well, so I was going to say, Lindsay was in the first one, right?
Yes.
Playing a nun. So in Rodriguez's own words, he tweeted over the weekend that Lady Gaga kicks so much ass.
I'm sure she totally fits in with that. She totally fits in with that whole thing.
Yeah. Exciting news from the world of Netflix. Jason Bateman and Ron Howard both tweeted pictures from the set of Arrested Development Season 4.
Yes.
Over the weekend. So that is well underway. And that will be, I think, in the spring that shows up of next year.
Actually, I was just on a plane.
Yeah.
And somebody sitting in front of me was watching on their laptop.
Yeah.
So I was watching half a screen from between the seats. and I couldn't hear it, but like I knew what was happening because I've seen it.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah, I was kept snickering sitting in my seat.
For, really looking forward to that.
To everyone else, no apparent reason.
Right. But, they just think you're nuts. the trailer for Doctor Who Series 7, which we were all hoping would show up at some point during the Olympics, is actually going to premiere Thursday night on BBC One and will be everywhere on the web shortly thereafter.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, within like 3 seconds.
Again, they're splitting the season. The first half will resolve Amy Pond's story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will get a new companion in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think I miss Rory more than Amy.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, he really kind of came out of nowhere and became an integral part of the show. I actually went back and watched some of the best Donna Noble episodes with David Tennant.
And that's the thing. Every time we lose a companion, I'm so sad. But then I end up loving the new one.
Yeah. And then news that just crossed the wire now as we're recording, Peter Jackson and Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, have confirmed that The Hobbit will be a trilogy.
Who wants this? Really? Because I am going to smack them.
The studio wants it because they want money. They can package it as a trilogy. And how they're going to do that, there's rumors, they haven't confirmed yet, that they may hold the final battle from Hobbit to save it from the second movie and put it in the third movie.
Right.
And then they would also take the information contained in the 6 appendices from Tolkien's Return of the King that explored more of the characters of Middle-earth and use that to kind of round out the story. So, but like you said, off the air, so the original trilogy was based on 3 very large books.
Yeah, I mean, we had the trilogy, one for each book. So now we have one book into 3 movies.
Yep.
You know what? It worked fine as like a little cartoon. We all loved it when we were kids.
Right.
What are they going to stretch to make it this long? And who wants to watch 3 hours of The Hobbit?
I don't know.
I don't. I'm more excited to watch one movie. I would be like first in line. And knowing I'm going to have to sit through 2 more.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see any of it now.
Well, and it comes on the heels of them finishing a year-long principal photography shoot. A year!
Gosh.
You know, 300 days of principal photography, and now they're going to go back and shoot more?
Oh, it's just crazy.
I don't know. Peter needs to go and do something else before he winds up kind of burying himself, you know.
It's like all he does now.
Yeah.
Let it go, because once this is done, you're done. You might as well move on now.
Well, and it's too bad, because Guillermo del Toro was originally supposed to do this. And,
yeah, that would have been interesting to see. As much as I love Peter Jackson, and he did amazing, amazing, amazing with original movies, it would have been really interesting to see what Del Toro did with it.
Yeah. Oh, well. But we'll get to see Del Toro's Disney's Haunted Mansion at some point, so that could be cool.
I don't have much. not because of him, but based on past experiences with that. And
right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's it. I'm done. Got Kardashian news?
Well, first, there's some other news.
Oh, okay.
Dancing with the Stars released their new cast.
Yeah.
it starts in September. The next season, it's going to be all stars.
Oh, brother.
And Bristol Palin's back.
Oh.
But Pam Anderson, Emmett Smith, Kelly Monaco, Sean Johnson, Melissa Rycroft, Joey Fatone, Drew LaShake, Christy Alley, Helio Castro. Why didn't I prepare this before? Castro Nevis. I don't know. Somebody else tell me. I didn't watch that season. Gil Marini and Apollo Ohno.
Oh.
So you can keep if you, you know, haven't gotten enough of the Olympics. You can now watch him dancing again. And there actually will be a 13th dancer.
Okay.
And fans get to pick which one out of Kyle Massey, Sabrina Bryan, and Carson Kressley. So you can go vote on ABC.com until the end of August.
No Cloris
for which
Leachman.
One of them you want to see. So, yes, you get to be a part of it.
Now, you don't think that ABC put the Bristol Palin thing just to coincide with the presidential election, do you?
Oh, I'm sure not.
It had no bearing whatsoever on the fact that...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But quick Kardashian news. It's really not huge gossipy or anything. They have... you know, they have like a million businesses. They sell diet products, nail polish, like everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
And they have a clothing line at Sears, a Kardashian Collection, and you can guess how it's spelled.
Yeah.
So they're going to do a new part of that, and it's Kardashian Curves. Again, you can guess how that's spelled, but it's for the booty girls. So it'll actually fit Kim.
Nice.
And, you know, the rest of us with a little bit of curves with a C, we can now wear curves with a K.
All right.
Or not.
Yeah. That's what you want tattooed on your butt is Kim Kardashian's name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it. As always, you can check us out at DVDverdict.com. You can find the show over at iTunes. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Was it something wrong that we did? Or because others infiltrated? What went wrong with something went so good? How do you find the words to say goodbye?